This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, April 20th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for the Wall Street Journal. Elon Musk's internet satellite venture, Starlink, is authorized to send 12,000 satellites into orbit with the goal of expanding internet access. And it's sought permission to launch another 30,000 on top of that. But some rivals say those satellites are cluttering Earth's lower orbit and endangering their equipment. Our correspondent Boyan Pinchevsky will join us with more after these headlines. The Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union is formally challenging the results of the recent union election at an Amazon warehouse in Alabama. In objections filed with the National Labor Relations Board, the union alleged that Amazon intimidated and threatened employees into voting against joining the RWDSU. Amazon has said that it followed the law in its communications with employees, and a spokeswoman said the company looks forward to the next steps in the legal process. The UK said it would probe NVIDIA's $40 billion deal to buy the British chip designer Arm Holdings over national security concerns. The deal would combine two of the world's largest chip designers, and it's already drawn scrutiny from regulators around the world over concerns that it would reduce competition in the semiconductor industry. A spokesman for NVIDIA said the company doesn't believe that the transaction poses any material national security issues, and that NVIDIA would work with British authorities. Apple plans to make the social media app Parler available through its App Store again. You might remember that Apple had removed Parler in the wake of the Capitol riot in January, citing concerns about how Parler moderated content. In a letter to lawmakers yesterday, Apple said it would approve a revised version of the app with improved content moderation. Apple declined to comment on the letter. Parler didn't respond to requests for comment. Speaking of Apple, it's expected to unveil new iPads, among other possible additions to its product lineup, at a virtual event scheduled for this afternoon. We'll be following along on our website and in the WSJ app, so be sure to check in there. And multiple U.S. safety regulators are investigating the fatal crash involving a Tesla vehicle near Houston last weekend. Local authorities believe that the vehicle's advanced driver assistance program, called Autopilot, was engaged and that the car was operating without anyone in the driver's seat. But Tesla CEO Elon Musk said on Twitter that data logs recovered from the vehicle showed that Autopilot was not enabled. He also said that the Autopilot feature requires that a road must have lane lines, which aren't present where the accident took place. The investigations opened Monday are the latest in a series of probes into crashes involving Tesla vehicles. Several of them in recent months. All right, coming up next, some rivals are raising concerns about another of Elon Musk's projects, this one in space. We'll have more on that after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
That's the reaction at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California yesterday, as scientists received data confirming that their Mars helicopter, Ingenuity, had made history. It completed the first powered flight on another planet, the first of up to five flights planned for the next 2 weeks. It was a triumphant moment for the people working to extend humanity's reach beyond Earth. But things aren't quite so harmonious when it comes to a different space initiative, this one much closer to home. Elon Musk's company SpaceX has been working on a project it's calling Starlink to use satellites to expand internet access on Earth. Some rivals are raising concerns about Starlink, and they're asking regulators to clamp down on it. For more on this, we turn to our correspondent, Boyan Pinchevsky. He's been following the story. Hey, Boyan, thanks for joining me.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
So just to start out here, can you tell us about SpaceX's Starlink project? What does that operation do and what's its impact been?
Yeah, well, basically, SpaceX is Elon Musk's space program, and Starlink is a spin-off from that. It's a so-called mega constellation of satellites that will orbit and are orbiting the Earth, and they will basically beam super-fast internet down to Earth. It's the biggest of its kind. Many other companies are sort of gearing up to compete with the Musk constellation, but so far it's the biggest. They've got over 1,300 satellites, and they're shooting them up at a rate of, I think, around 120 a month. So it's really a ginormous project of its kind, and it's really sort of ruffled feathers in the industry because Elon Musk has basically disrupted a whole new sector now.
And I want to talk more about some of that pushback in a moment. But first, you know, there are a number of companies competing in the internet satellite space. I wonder if you could just talk a bit more about some of the applications of this kind of technology. What are they trying to do?
Well, it's very interesting. I mean, for at this minute, the issue at hand is broadband internet beamed from space. And that's a very practical thing. For example, if you live in Washington State in the United States, where the broadband infrastructure on the ground is perhaps not as developed as somewhere else, it would require enormous investments to develop broadband on the ground, you know, to lay down these optical cables and so on. And if that could be resolved by simply beaming internet from outer space and a super fast internet at that, that would be an enormous asset for these communities. So that's the issue at hand at the moment. And obviously in the future, there will be many other applications for these satellite constellations. I mean, at the moment, we have obviously observation satellites. We have things like GPS, the global positioning system that tells your car where to go. You know, it guides your mobile phones and so on. We've got weather satellites and so on and so forth. And obviously, the number of applications for this technology will multiply. I mean, lots of people have also spoken about national security that you can obviously observe from out of space. This technology will also be very important for the Internet of Things, for stuff like self-driving cars, for stuff like intelligent motorways, perhaps for intelligent factories and things like that. Essentially, you will have objects or facilities where internet will be sort of beamed directly from the sky day and night at high speed, and connectivity will no longer depend on physical sort of connection to a grid.
Got it. And so, as you mentioned, SpaceX's Starlink project is one of the front runners in creating this kind of technology. And you mentioned before that they've ruffled some feathers in the industry. So who's in that camp and what exactly are they taking issue with?
Exactly. Well, basically, there are a bunch of companies that operate in space. One of them is, for example, Viasat Incorporated. It's an American company that provides broadband internet for Air Force One, the aircraft of the President of the United States. Then you've got a whole bunch of other companies, you know, Boeing, Hughes Network Systems. All of them operate in space and have been so far outmaneuvered by Elon Musk because they don't really have what he has, and that's his own rockets. You know, he's got SpaceX, he's got rocket launchers, he can put out satellites in space anytime he likes to, whereas any other company needs to find a rocket launcher, and that doesn't really happen that frequently, and it costs around $55 million a pop. So essentially, they're saying that he's putting out too many satellites too quickly, and they say he is using the sort of Tesla principle, that's obviously his electric cars company, to space, which means he's putting out satellites and then improving them as he goes, meaning that some of them may not be perfect, so they will malfunction perhaps, they will stop working. That has happened indeed. A few of them have stopped working in space. And they say that's not really safe for orbital traffic, and it's not really safe for the environment because they say, you've got thousands of satellites coming up. Some of them are not working. That means they will sort of become redundant and die up in space. That will increase risk of collisions. The more satellites you have in orbit, the more crowded it gets, the more collisions may take place. And that means more debris will be released, and that will endanger every other spacecraft up there. And it has a sort of a small potential of causing problems on Earth as well, if some of that debris will to fall down. Not normally they evaporate when they re-enter the atmosphere, but if a small piece were to kind of fall through into a human settlement, it could cause a great damage. So in a nutshell, that's the argument of the critics.
And these critics have taken some of their concerns to regulators. What are they asking for?
So essentially, some of these companies, a bunch of them, have gone to the U.S. regulator, the Federal Communications Commission, which has approved 12,000 satellites for SpaceX, Starlink. SpaceX has gone, or Starlink, I mean, these are two different entities, but obviously connected. They've gone back to the FCC and they've asked for permission to launch another 30,000 satellites. That's a lot of satellites, especially if you know that since the dawn of the space age, only about 9,000 satellites have been launched in total since the 50s. And the competitors to SpaceX, to Starlink, are saying that the FCC needs to limit the number of satellites it will allow. And they also want the FCC to impose some conditions on SpaceX, on how well the satellites should be made and what would be their failure rate. Because they say if many of them, or even if few of them fail, it's still too many given the large number of satellites out there.
Boyan, what does SpaceX say to all this?
Well, SpaceX doesn't really communicate much. I mean, they haven't commented for this article, but in the past they've said that they are doing everything just fine, that they've got full control over their project. Elon Musk has responded to some of the critics on Twitter. He basically responded to a claim by the Viasat founder that he's creating a safety hazard in space, and Elon Musk tweeted saying he's creating a hazard for their profits, more likely. So I think his response is that he's more competitive than the rest. He's disrupting the whole industry. He's got all these rockets and satellites, and they just can't keep up with him. So they basically are complaining to regulators. They're complaining to the media. They're complaining in general just because they can't keep up. I think that's, in a nutshell, his response so far.
And, you know, just taking a step back here, we've been seeing more and more companies involved in the development of our space infrastructure, from commercial partnerships with NASA to more companies getting into this satellite business that we've been talking about. What does this sector, and particularly regulation of this sector, look like going forward?
Well, this is one of these things where regulation is really trailing behind. And one of the reasons is because, you know, every country or jurisdiction has its own rules. I mean, you have one regulator sort of allows for, you know, regulates the number of spacecrafts allowed. Another regulator gives, you know, the spectrum, the frequencies for these satellites to beam, in this particular case, internet down to Earth. So it's a very complex sort of regulatory regime, and it's extremely fragmented. So unless Europe, America, China, Russia start working together on a joint system of regulation, and that's not really on the cards at the moment, then I think companies such as Starlink will be essentially operated in an environment where it's like sort of first come, first serve.
All right, that's our correspondent, Boyan Pinchevsky. Thanks, Boyan.
Thank you.
That's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.